That was a great song, and that definitely confirmed what I feel like I was led to preach by God today. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm not really an emotional, feeling type person. I usually know I won't preach. But I got back from Christmas, and I went to the office Thursday morning, and I built the outline out of 1 Peter. Well, I hated it. At the end of the day, I went home. I got back in on Friday. I did not like what I had built, I just didn't like it. And so, but then at that same time, I started feeling really bad, So, I felt terrible Friday. And I decided, I'm going to preach something different. And I got thinking about, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why I'm sick, because I'm pretty hard-headed. Okay, I don't really, like that. Maybe because I would have not changed what I was going to do if I hadn't got sick Friday. I probably would have went back in on Friday and hammered it out and been pinched out of 1 Peter. But I got to thinking about the fact that it is the end of the year. And just like she said, Tuesday began the new year, 2019. And with a new year, like most new years, come resolutions. We'll see what happens. It's like she said, when you come to a new year, as it approaches, we take time, I actually put it in my notes, we take time to reflect. We take time to reflect on the last year, and we resolve to do some things different in 2019. That's what happens. Every year, we look back, and then we resolve that we're going to do some things different. For example, we sometimes say things like this, and really not different, but better. We say things like this, I'm going to resolve to be a better friend. I'm going to resolve to be a better person, a better spouse. I'm going to resolve to do better financially. I'm going to resolve to eat better. I'm going to be resolved to exercise more. And we have all these resolutions, but as believers, one thing I want to encourage you to have a resolution about, and I want you to resolve to be a better Christian. And really, not so much a better Christian, but I want you, or better yet, I want you to resolve to be an effective Christian. See, that's the problem today, that we have a lot of people who claim to be a Christian. So I'm not going to get into whether who's saved and who's not. But we have a lot of people who love to be a Christian, but they don't want to do anything. We have a lot of people who want to be a Christian, but are not doing anything for God. They're being ineffective. And so here's the reality. If I were to come to you this morning, and I ask each of you, are you saved? Being in church, I think the majority of you would say that. Saying, yes, I am saved. Now, just because you're at church, doesn't mean you are saved, but in this setting, if I were to look at you, most of you would say, yes, I'm saved. Whether even out of embarrassment. And I do think the majority of you are saved. I don't know your heart, but if I were to come to you again and ask you question number two, and I were to ask you, are you an effective Christian? I think I might get a different response. I think that I would get some yeses, but I think also I'd get some noes. Actually, I think that I might get more no's than yeses. And you say, why are you saying that? Because many times you would ask me that same question, and I look back on the last year, I'd have to say no as well. I think that's the thing that that's what the devil wants. The devil don't mind that we're Christians to some degree. He just don't want us to do anything. And this morning, obviously the remedy is obviously we know sin is the root of why we become ineffective Christians. But today, I don't want to look at that as much as I want to look at what we can do to become effective. So this morning, I want to look here at the effective Christian. Here's the context of Hebrews chapter 12, or Hebrews, really. I'm about to get my water, because the recipient of this letter, they are Jewish believers, okay? They have been, let's see if they'll sit right there. Kind of like Nick Saban does in his interviews. You ever seen him with that one hand of coke on one side? I'm Nick Saban today. So, anyway. The recipient of this letter, which are mostly Jewish believers, were discouraged. They were defeated. They were doubting God. And there's no doubt that these believers were not reaching their full potential. There's no doubt in my mind they were not being effective. So you may ask, why were they so discouraged? Why were they defeated? Why were they doubting God? Well, there's really two answers. Number one, they were being persecuted. Okay, once again, it is early in the, Christianity, and any Jews who converted to Christianity were treated hostile by the Jews. Remember, the Jews crucified Jesus. So, they're being persecuted, but also, they are immature. Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 13 tells us this, and are become as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So they were immature. And as a result of all this is happening, they're wanting to convert back to Judaism. So this letter as a whole, this letter of Hebrews, was written to give encouragement and confidence in Christ. And to accomplish this, the author speaks of the superiority of Christ. He said in this letter that Christ is better than the angels, he's better than the priests, he's better than the sacrifices, which all goes back to Judaism. Then, in chapter 12, the author, in a sense, tells him to quit crying. Look at verse 5. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastisement of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. One writer, his name's Warford, even said this about these verses. This is a reminder that things are not as bad as they seem. And the chastisement is from the Lord, and they need to rejoice, okay? So basically he's saying, he's encouraging them. Then he gets to chapter 12, and he kind of says, kind of tough love. He said, all right, you need to quit whining. You need to quit crying. You need to quit being so weak. Then, when you get to verse 12 through 15, is what we're going to look at, he kind of gives them what I like to call some go-get-em phrases. Kind of like what a coach does when the coach, grabs you by the face mask, and he says, look, you can do this. Don't give up. I want you to do this. Get back out there and quit being wimpy. He kind of gives them go-get-em verses. And in these verses, it's where we see the way to be an effective Christian. So let's read these verses and look at it. Verse 12 says this. Wherefore, lift up your hands and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. When you stop there, because that's the only two verses we'll cover this morning. Any two verses, we'll see two things. Number one, if you want to be an effective believer, you have to possess strength. Okay, you have to possess strength. Now, obviously, this is not rocket science. And no matter what you're doing, whether it's sports, whether it's whether it's even going to school, whether it's going hunting, no matter what it is, you have to be strong. It may be emotional strength. It might be physical strength. It might be mental strength. It's sometimes a combination of all. But if we, no matter what we're doing, we have to have strength. Okay, that's obvious. And the same thing is true as Christians. If we are going to be what we need to be, we have to have strength. You say, well, where do you see that at? Well, letter A, and we see it through the command. We see that they need strength in the command to lift up. Look at verse 12 again. It says this. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knee. Let's kind of go through this command. I got three things here under this. The meaning. The meaning of the word lift up means to make straight or right again. It's a medical term. It's the act, and this will be important later. It's the act. It's not so much the act of doing this. It's the act of setting a dislocated part of the body. Okay, so when he says lift up, he's saying, he's not so much saying woo, he's saying, let's get that shoulder back in place. Let's put it, it's been dislocated, let's put it back in place. So then we see the member, what's being lifted up? It says here, the hands and the knees. You say, what does this mean then? Well, lift up is a racing terminology. Now stay with me, okay? Lift up with a racing terminology. If you go to chapter 12, verse 1, what does it say? Remember, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed by a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the what? The race. So, what you have to keep in mind when you're reading this verse is that the writer, the author here, has the ideal of a race, of a runner, running a race. So when it says lift up, it's the ideal that the author is illustrating that the Christian life is a race. And here's the bottom line, is that they were not running good spiritually. They had let their hands and they let their feet get out of form because they were tired. They were weak. So they were running. You know, it's kind of funny watching people. I can't run, really, you know. But you ever seen people run down the road and like, you know, some of y'all might be that way. You know, it's kind of, that's what happened. They gotten tired, and they're running, and, you know, and they're stomping, you know. Me and my wife were walking today, and we were going up the steps. We've been walking at the mall, and she was stomping like this, up the steps, you know. You know, she was getting tired, and I told her, you gotta quit stomping. You know, and that's what's happening here. These Christians had become weak, and he said this, I want you to lift up. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to get your form back. I want you to quit doing this, and I want you to get back, and I want you to start running like this. I want you to keep your form right as you run. He said, what he's saying here, then I want you to get strong. So here's the question. Why are they struggling in this race, spiritually? They were commanded to be strong, but it was because of their condition, or their condition. That's the second thing here. Let it be, it's their condition. Why were they running like this? Why are they running like this? Well, we had to go a couple chapters back. The first thing here is, number one, they were spiritually indifferent. Chapter 5, verse 11 says this. And a lot of you probably know this verse. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to hear, or hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. The word dull means sluggish, slothful. It's the ideal of being lazy. So why would they wink? Because they had become lazy. They were spiritually immature, I've already said it, but verse 12 says the same thing. It says, for when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Does that not describe most churches today? Most Christians today? And that when you see people who have been Christians for 20-something years and they're still no better than they were, I mean, they you can't rely on them for anything. They don't know anything. Like that. So that shows the ideal here that they were spiritually immature. And then number three, they were being ill-treated. They weren't being persecuted. So here's the question you have to ask. So once again, anytime you're looking at something, you have to ask this question, so what? So what do we say? So what? So okay, they were weak, and they were weak because they were lazy. So what do we learn from that? Well, to be effective, you have to be strong. And the only way to be strong spiritually is to stay in God's Word. Okay, that's what you have to do. And without even leaving Hebrews, we can see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we can see the amazing power of the Word of God. And it says here, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit and a joint and a marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Here's the thing. Remember, the illustration here is a race. And it's a long race. And if you are going right now, if we were going to run a 5K, my wife can't want us to do that. I have no desire to run a 5K. Okay? I have no desire. Okay? And but here's the thing, if I do it, I'm going to run it. I'm not going to walk it. If I do a 5K, I'm going to run the whole thing. That's why I don't want to do it, because I don't want to run 3.1 miles or whatever it is. But to do that, for you and me, for me to run a 5K, I've got to be strong. I've got to drink water. I've got to go running. I've got to learn to keep the right form. You know, you have to educate yourself. Because you know what, I looked this up one time. You know, when you run, the art of running, you know, don't just go like this. You know, you actually, and you read this on the internet, you know, you're supposed to keep your hands like here. You're supposed to kind of keep your core tight. You're supposed to keep your hands loose, but not tight. And then you said to pretend you're holding potato chips in your hand when you're running. You're supposed to keep your eyes ahead of you. You're supposed to, when you run, I think you're supposed to hit like this with the ball or the heel of your foot. And you're supposed to come up like that. You're supposed to propel yourself off your toes. Me, I knew this. You know, but he said no. But see, for me to run a 5K, I've got to educate myself, and I've got to become strong. Well, the same thing true spiritually. That's what he's saying here, is that for you to be effective and for you to be strong, you have to be strong. And if you're going to be strong as a Christian, then you've got to educate yourself with the Word of God. And you've got to go to it, and you've got to feed on it, and you've got to eat it. Like David said, it's sweet like honey, and you've got to feast on it. That's the only way that means you're going to run that Christian race and be effective if we have strength. And the strength comes through the Word of God. Let me ask you, as you reflect on 2018, how much time do you spend in the Word of God? See, I can't do it for you. You can come to church one time a week, three times a week. But what you're going to have to do, if you ever, and I hope, if you are a believer, and you don't have a desire to grow, you know the problem with your salvation. Okay, nobody wants to say that now. Everybody wants to say, no, look, let me tell you something. Not everyone's saved that claims to be saved. If you don't have a desire to grow, and you don't have a desire to quit sinning, then there's something broke with your salvation. And my wife always says, I don't think anyone's saved. It's not that. It's not that. The Bible says, there's goats among the sheep, or wolves among the sheep. Then the way is narrow, and meaning that all few that find it. But here's the thing. In 2018, how much time do you spend in the Word of God? And let me ask you, do you have a desire to do better in 2019? If you do, here's the key. Strengthen yourself on the Word of God. And then number two, and you're going to like this, I think. To be an effective Christian, you have to possess strength. But secondly, you have to possess smoothness. So stay with me. You say, smoothness? Yeah, I'm pretty smooth, I think. Not really. I ain't think I'm like a worse person. I mean, I go see some pastors, they're so smooth, I'm just to the point, you know, not smooth. Never have been. But to be an effective Christian, you have to possess smoothness. What do you mean? Well, we'll see there. We'll see that you mean smoothness in the author's concern for the lanes, okay? Okay, like a path, okay? All right, so stay with me. He said, what are you talking about? Well, let's look here. Like, let me flip back to chapter 12 here. This is what it says here in verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet. Okay, that path there. Okay, so let's look at that path there, okay? The word straight. You gotta get the word straight, okay? The word straight carries the idea of smooth more than straight. Fenton's word study said this. Not in the sense of straight as distinguished from crooked, but more generally right, plain, by implication, even smooth. Another said, person said that straight paths is level paths. Okay? So the idea, so when it says straight, it's not talking about straight this way, it's talking about straight this way. So it's talking about smooth. Okay? So you say, well, I still don't believe you. Well, let's look at the illustration here. When it says here, make straight path, the word path carries the idea of a cart path. It's the ideal of a wagon or a cart that has wheels. It's a picture of someone. Can think about they didn't have this. And if you got an idea like if you got a shopping cart or we call it a buggy. Okay, you got a buggy at the grocery store and you're pushing it. It's the ideal that when you push that buggy, you want it to be smooth. You don't want it to be like rocks and bumps, you know? Like that, I tried to push one through the snow the other day, but it snowed, I couldn't go anywhere. Okay, it's not the ideal of this. It's the ideal of smooth. He's saying, make straight paths. Make smooth paths. That is free of rock, that's free of potholes. Now you say, what is that a statement to? Well, let's go to the second thing here. Is that, we see here, you talk about the lame, but then it goes to the lame people, okay? So here's the problem here. Look with me again. In verse 13, it says, make straight paths and I do a smooth for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Here's the problem. Some of them are spiritually lame. It's the idea of limping and crippled, okay? So here's a second group of people. Then you have a group who are weak, who are still running, okay? You got these people like, woohoo! You got these people. But then you got a second group of people. And he's telling these people, keep the path smooth. Before these lame people, the people who are doing this, or who are actually, oh, I can't, they're sitting down because they can't go anywhere. He's saying, I want you to make smooth paths for the people who are crippled. Okay, that's the problem. They got cramp. They got a sprained knee. And they're hurting. He said, I want you, and once again, that makes sense. Because if you got somebody who's crippled, what does he need? A crippled person don't want to do this. He wants to be smooth. And now he's saying to these runners going like this, keep it smooth. You say, why? Because there's a phobia. See, he says here, he said, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. The word turned out carries the meaning to be dislocated. It's a statement that these crippled runners could have more pain. Think about that. So it's the ideal here that the author is scared that the immature Christians who are running like this are going to further hinder the crippled by their conduct. Okay? We can't think about this for a minute. If you're running like this, have you ever been like somebody chasing you and not run to the house and pull a chair right when you go by? You may have done that. And the other hits it. That's what he's saying, don't let your conduct, don't live your life in a way that when there's somebody over here who's limping spiritually, that the way you live your life, you throw a chair in front of them and hurt them even worse. He's saying you need to make sure it's smooth. Robert Pickerel said this. Well, let me say this. He is saying, don't live your Christian life in a way that it throws big rocks in the path of the spiritually lame. Robert Pickerel said this. Mature Christians are to keep the road clear for those who are immature. See, we're over here running like this. He's saying, you need to strengthen up. You need to make sure the path is smooth. Well, the folks who are doing this won't fall and further hurt themselves. See, if you want to be an effective Christian, you have to have smoothness, which means that your actions, your reactions, and the way you live your life is consistent with the Bible. See, when unsaved or immature, you do not want to hinder unsaved people or immature Christians from knowing and growing in God. Let me ask you something. When you reflect on 2018, what has your conduct done to unsaved people? Has it made people want to know more about God? Or has it done the opposite? Has your conduct, has it helped people who are Christians, who are weaker, has it caused them to grow or not grow as a Christian? That's what he's saying, if you want to be an effective Christian, you have to be smooth. Your conduct is not to hinder other people. Let me explain it this way, and we'll be done. If you were to come to Alabama, where I grew up, I could take you to a little community called Kingville. They have a post office, and at that time had two gas stations. And I think they might have had a caution light. I could take you down a road, a dirt road called Snake Branch Road. It was, when I was a teenager, it was one of my favorite places to ride. You can go down in a mile or two, and you'll get to a place where the creek ran over the road. And you could go through it about a couple feet, well, probably about a foot or 2 feet deep. And on the left side, there was a monster beaver pond, so we would fish it. We would ride that dirt road all the time. When we got past that spot, there was a rough-cut lumber bridge that didn't have any rails on it that went to one side. We used to go down that road all the time. We would, you know, we used to ride around and shoot rabbits, you know. We used to ride around and shoot rabbits, fish, and we used to go down that road all the time. You know, during the summer especially. But you know, all the time that I went down that road, I hardly ever saw other people. You know why? Because the road was rough. The road was rough. And no one wanted to go down it. And you know, I hate to say it, but I'm afraid that a lot of Christians are living their lives in such a way that it resembles Snake Branch Road. It's rough. It has potholes, and no one wants to go down it. In other words, we need to have a sense of obligation to God to live holy. But we also need a sense of obligation to our fellow believer and the unsaved to live a life that is consistent to the Bible, so that their road to salvation or growth is like a paved four-lane road and not a one-lane gravel road. I'm afraid that we, as Christians, are conducting ourselves in a way that is throwing rocks in their path, and it's not smooth anymore. And they're saying, I don't want to be a Christian. And let me tell you something, people are always watching. I've got an uncle right now who hadn't got saved, and the reason he is because he used to be in the timber business, and he used to work for a man who claimed to be a Christian, yet would cheat people out of timber. I mean, he'll tell you, they'll go in and survey 100 acres of land and say, they're $50,000 when it's really $100,000. And he'll say, well, I don't want to get saved because of him. You know what that man did, whether he was saved or not? He made my uncle's road to salvation rough. See, and I'm afraid we do the same thing. We do the same thing. And if we are going to be effective, we have to have smoothness. That means that our action or reactions have to be consistent with this right here. As the piano player comes up, let me conclude with this. This group in Hebrews were ineffective. What they needed was to be strong and smooth. Let me ask you this morning, how effective are you today as a Christian? Are you a well-fed Christian that is strong in the Word of God, or are you a starving Christian who is weak and hindering others? That's the question. Hey, if you're a parent, you could very well be hindering your kids' spiritual growth. Let me ask you, this morning, maybe you need to forsake some practices and pick up the Bible more in 2019. As we stand to our feet, as our heads are bowed, they're going to begin to play. And just for a few minutes, I want you to ask yourself, I want you to reflect on 2018. I want you to ask yourself, am I being as effective as I can? And they play, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come down here?